Let's take our Bibles together, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is part 3 of what we've been looking at in the verse that was presented to us by the Lord about things that are false, that are fake, but yet they have the name of Christianity on them. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse number 4 is where we've been getting our text from. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So we looked at another Jesus, we looked at another spirit. This morning we will be looking at another gospel. I'm glad I know the true gospel. I'm glad I was born into a household and a land and a place where I was exposed to the truth and not to deception. And yet many people are not. The first thing they're ever exposed to is something that is a counterfeit. It's a fake. So he talks about another gospel. I want to mention to you real quickly, and of course if you're saved, you know what that gospel is. But take your Bible to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, we'll read a few verses in the book of Romans. You know, if I were to ask you to take out a piece of paper and write down what is the gospel, what would you say? I'm concerned that a lot of people that go to church have no idea what the gospel is. And many of them, if they were asked, it's not that they have rejected the true gospel, but they could not put it into words. And I find that very troubling. Because if you don't know what the true gospel is, if you can't define it in your own life, how do you know that you will not accept another gospel or a false gospel? We've been talking and preaching. You've got to know the true to be what is true. You've got to know the real, genuine article if you're going to be saved from the danger of the counterfeits and the fakes of life. So what is the gospel? What is the gospel that we have accepted? How can we define it? God defines His Word. Do you know it? Can you define it? Can you spot that which is false and fake? The true gospel in Romans chapter 1, he says in verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What a powerful verse that is. He says that gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. You cannot be saved without the gospel. It is the gospel that introduces to us the possibility of being saved. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13, he talks about us trusting Christ. After that we heard the gospel of your salvation. You don't even know who to trust without the gospel, you see. It's not just a figurative Jesus. It's not a religious Jesus. It's not some religious prayer. It is the understanding of the gospel that brings us to the place that we believe that gospel of Christ. And when we believe that true gospel of Christ, the Bible says that is the power of God unto salvation. He said in another place in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, he says that we are in Christ Jesus. I've begotten you through the gospel. The gospel is what causes us to be born again. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there is no new birth, there is no salvation without belief of the gospel. So how in the world can we save people that are saved when they don't even know what the gospel is? We're not signing people up on a card to go to heaven. We're showing them the message of the gospel. They are believing that message, and then God saves their soul because they believe that message of the gospel. Has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with the denomination. It has to do with the message of the gospel of Christ. Well, what is it? You know, the Bible says that many people are blinded to the gospel. The gospel's hidden. He said, "If our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them, yet lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." So there's a lot of people that have no truth of the gospel. And it's not because they live in the jungles of Africa somewhere. It's because the devil's blinded their minds and they believed another gospel or something else, and they don't even know what the true gospel is. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 1, he said, I'm set for the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He said, I'm going to spend my life defending and confirming the gospel to people. He said in the same chapter, everything that happened to me, it happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. You know what one of the purposes of our church, one of the main central focuses of our church is to further the gospel of Christ. It is to confirm the gospel of Christ in people's minds, in their hearts. It is to defend the gospel. That means there's a warfare, there's a battle over it. That's why he said in Romans 1 that we just read in your hearing, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? You say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Well, you got to know what it is before you can be ashamed of it. You got to understand what the gospel is before you can stand up and say, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of it at work. I'm not ashamed of it at my family. I'm not ashamed of it on the street corner. I'm not ashamed if they put my face, amen, on television. If they interview me, what would you do if you had 5 minutes and a reporter put a microphone in your face and you could speak to the whole world? What would you say? Would you stand up for the gospel? Would you know how to do that? Would you be willing to do that? Or would you be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? You know, when Jesus was walking, he said in the book of Mark, he said, whosoever will lose his life will find it. And he said this, if you'll lose your life, listen now, if you'll lose your life for my sake and the gospel. And then Jesus went on to say that there are people that left houses and land and mother and father and sisters and wives and brothers and wives and all these things. They left all these things, he said, for my sake and the gospel's. You know, the Bible says we ought to be willing to give our lives for the sake of the gospel. We ought to be willing to give everything up for the sake of the gospel. Because that gospel is the power of God unto our salvation. That gospel is what brought to us the knowledge of Christ and brought salvation to our lives. So we should put our life on the line for the gospel. The Bible says it this way. One of the first verses I memorized in college in 2 Timothy. He said in chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner. He said, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Are you willing to be afflicted for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to be beaten? Are you willing to lose? Are you willing to lose your job for the gospel? I tell you what, we live in such a woke culture and such a PC culture. If you think that the gospel is going to be accepted in the world that is coming, you're sadly mistaken. You may lose everything if you are willing to stand up, not just say you belong to Jesus, but for the gospel's sake. Well, what is that gospel? You say, preacher, the flags are testimony of that. You know, the Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Preacher, we're all about the gospel. Well, what is it and what is it not? Do we know? Do we have a good handle on that? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have to start there. If you were to go to one passage in the Bible that defined what the gospel is, it would be 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Every Christian should know that. Because that's not based upon what I say or what your church teaches or what somebody told you. Because in the Bible, it defines and spells out for you in no uncertain terms exactly what the gospel is so that you can define it for someone else. Now also, in the same text, it's going to tell you about another gospel, and it's going to be our first introduction. I'll just give you 3 points this morning about identifying another gospel. But here in the text that defines what the gospel is, it's going to show you what it is not. 1 Corinthians 15, look with me in verse 1. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. You see it? which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, look verse 2, by which also ye are what? Saved. So the God, we stand in the gospel. It's where we stand. It is by that we are saved. But now watch verse 2. By which also ye are saved. What's the next word? If. Now, preacher, what does that mean? Preacher, is this a verse about losing your salvation? No, no. It's a verse about showing you that some have perverted the gospel of Christ and that there are other gospels that don't have the whole message. And maybe that the Corinthian church had some people in there that really had not believed the gospel, that they had believed another gospel or a portion of the gospel, but they forgot about the message and they had never received the real, complete message of the gospel. You could be in church and never have believed the gospel. Well, what is it? He says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, people believe a lot of things. People believe, and I'll say this, watch it now. You got to believe all the gospel to be saved. You can't believe part of it. Because it's one story. You know what the gospel is? It's good news. I'm glad I've got good news this morning. There's good news in Jesus. This is all about his work. Now, what is it? Here we go. Define it. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. You just read the gospel. The gospel. You said, preacher, I didn't read anything in there about a Baptist church. No, because it's not a part of the gospel. You said, preacher, I didn't even read anything there about prayer. No, you didn't. What is the gospel again? It's that Christ, verse 3, Christ, it's, look guys, the gospel is the message of Christ. It is not the message of religion. It's the message of Christ. The good news is only found in Jesus. The good news is only found in what Jesus did. That's why we give that little booklet to visitors to come, the booklet that says done, because it's all about what he has done. The gospel is about Jesus' work. Here it is. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now that means this. No one can believe the gospel unless they deal with a sin problem, right? Because Christ dying for our sins is a part of the gospel. In other words, it's not just that Jesus died. You know, everybody dies, but it's not that he died. He died for our sins. He made the payment for your sins, you see. That's why when somebody comes to Christ to believe the gospel, they are wanting their sins gone. They are wanting to take away because Christ paid that penalty for their sin, to take that sin away, to satisfy the demands of a holy God, to be accepted in the sight of God, to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. He bore that burden to Calvary. He was there because of my sin. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried. That means he really died. It wasn't just a swooning. They put him in the tomb. And then the Bible says that he rose again. He rose from the dead. So it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That is the gospel. And if someone will believe that Christ died for their sin and want to receive that payment, and they believe that he was buried and they believe that he rose from the dead, that's the message of the gospel. And God says, if you'll believe that message of what my son did, I will save you. That is simple, is it not? It's just like in the wilderness. When Jesus was talking about it in John chapter 3, and he was telling them to believe on him, he said, just like they lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if you believe on him, you'll live. You'll have everlasting life. Because all that crowd was snake bit. They were all dying. But all they had to do was look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. Look at the work that he did on the cross. Believe that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose from the dead. You say, well, preacher, well, why is he worried about this if statement? Why did he say, why does he say, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory? Because evidently, while he was preaching that message in Corinth, somebody wasn't listening too well. And they were in church that day, but they didn't hear all the message of the gospel. Because you know what the problem was? In 1 Corinthians 15, would you drop down to verse number 12? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Do you see that? So there was a group of people in the church of Corinth that did not believe in the resurrection. And he goes on, he starts defending that. That's this whole chapter is about the resurrection. He said in verse 13, there's no resurrection, then is Christ not risen. Verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith vain. We're found false witnesses of God. He says, if you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you can't be saved. If in your memory, what I preached to you was some other message than the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, you can't be saved. You can't just believe in the death of Christ. You must believe in the message of the gospel, which includes the fact that he rose from the dead. That's why the majority of our world is not saved and they're on their way to hell. Even the Christian world, because they don't literally believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They have a holiday about it, but they don't believe the miracle of the resurrection of life from the dead. And you cannot be saved because without believing in the resurrection, because it's a part of the gospel. It is a part you cannot remove, you can't take out. You can't just believe in the cross and not believe in the resurrection. Because the gospel is one message. So what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the work of Christ. And if I'll just believe that, God will save me. And yet another gospel is something that forgets a portion of Christ's work. Whether it's his death for sin, whether it's the resurrection from the dead, they forget part of that work. So another gospel is one that leaves out part of the work of Christ for us. That's defined in the gospel. Now, secondly, take your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Another gospel is forgetful of the resurrection, but another gospel is also a gospel that is contrary to this verse that we read, Acts chapter 20. So hopefully everybody can leave here and you can define the gospel. You know how easy it would be for you to go to someone and say, hey, Jesus died for your sin, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Will you trust that work for the salvation of your soul? How easy? You say, preacher, it's got to be harder. I'm glad it's not harder. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to take a test and have a six-hour lecture about what I need to do to be saved. I mean, Paul didn't take a lot of time with that jailer in Philippi. He needed to believe what Christ had done. That's what he needed to believe. Wow, easy. Yeah, well, a lot of people don't believe that. Here's what a lot of people miss. This is another gospel. If it's contrary to this verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Acts 20, 24. But none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, look at it now, of the grace of God. Do you see that? So the gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. While you're there, just turn back a couple chapters to chapter 15. Did you know in Acts chapter 15, the early church was still debating about how people got saved? That's an amazing thing, I think. By the way, and because I know that fact, why would I go to the early part of the book of Acts to definitively talk to somebody about the gospel when the early church was confused until Acts 15 about the gospel? Good point. Well, is that a fair point? I mean, in Acts 15, they all got together and said, what's the deal? We've got to nail this down once and for all, forever, for everybody. So they all met together because some in the church was saying you got to do this to be saved. Others says you got to do this to be saved. In verse 1 of chapter 15, some of them said they had to be circumcised to be saved. Others are going to tell them they have to keep the law. And so all of it boiled down, and this is what happens. Peter stands up and he starts preaching to them. And in verse number 11, Paul's there. Everybody's there. Everybody that's anybody's there. Amen. They're all there. And in verse 11, here's the conclusion. But we believe that through, watch it, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or you're Gentile. You're only saved by the grace of God because it's the gospel of the grace of God. Well, what is the grace of God? It's God's unmerited favor to you. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's not something you work for. It's not something that you're approved. It is God's riches at Christ's expense that he bestows upon us freely. The gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. And anything that's contrary to the grace gospel is another gospel. Go to Romans chapter 11. So not only is it the work of Christ, but it is the grace of God. He says in Romans chapter 11, foundational verses I'm reading to you. So if the gospel is the grace of God, what is another gospel? Romans 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of what? Do you see the verse? And he's a tongue twister, but he says it so many times, so you'll never miss out what he's trying to say. If it's by grace, it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. In other words, if it's by the grace of God, it's not about what your works are. It's not about what you do. Because as soon as you interject and insert your works, it ceases to become the grace of God. So the true gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. He freely bestows upon it, unmerited, without our works. And as soon as I interject a work, it is another gospel. Look at chapter 4 of Romans. Romans chapter 4. We don't preach that people need to do things to be saved. You need to believe to be saved. You need to believe what he's done, and God will save you by his grace. That's the good news, man. I mean, the good news is, look, the bad news is none of us can do enough. The bad news is we're all failures. The bad news is the best of us are worst at best. But the good news is that God is a God of grace. And you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. That the grace of God bestowed upon the chiefest of sinners is for all of us. He says in Romans chapter 4 and verse, look at it, Romans chapter 4, we're looking at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And he already said in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So another gospel is a gospel of works. Any gospel that inserts man's works is another gospel. Because God's gospel is the gospel of the grace of God. And the book says, and y'all should have it memorized in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. I tell you what, where people get messed up, they think something they've done caused them to be saved. That's not, it's just, and you say, come on, preacher, we don't believe in getting saved by works. And all. But guys, look, even we get messed up sometimes. I mean, you know how many children, do you know how many children later in life, they have to really come to the conclusion that I need to get saved because as a child, it was not that they were believing on Christ's work. They were believing in a prayer that they said. Now guys, I got saved when I prayed and trusted Christ. I did. But in my heart, I was believing on the Lord.
Come here. It was not the greatness or perfection of my prayer. You understand? And then later people start doubting their salvation. Did I say it just right? Well, look, it ain't about me saying it just right. It's about His grace. It's about me believing in my heart, I want You, Lord. I'm saved by His grace, not because my prayer was perfect or my theology was perfect. Have you ever seen any sinner's theology that's perfect before they get saved? Man, I've had people bow their head to pray to get saved and curse in their prayer. Well, they couldn't be saved. Hush. Some people, that's the only vocabulary they have. It's not the perfection of the prayer. It's the grace of God. Will you believe, my son? Okay, there you go. Freely. Freely. I'm not going to make you jump through five hoops and say 20 catechisms and four Hail Marys. Guys, I tell you what, if we're not careful, we'll be like the Catholics. Look, we're not going around trying to get people to quote the rosary. Even if it's a Baptist rosary. Are you listening to me? We want them to believe on Christ. We want them to pray. I believe for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe that. But that call emanates from a heart that has believed on Christ. Not, oh, okay, all right, here's a Baptist thing to do. The Catholics do it this way, we do it. No, it's not about that. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It is not according to our works. How many people? I would say the majority of every person, if you try to spread the gospel in the next 6 weeks and you talk to anybody and you ask them if they're saved, I guarantee you for sure their response is going to be something that they do. Are you saved? You know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I go to church across the street. Then it's another gospel. Or they'll say, you know, I got baptized 15 years ago. 1 Corinthians 1. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 1. It doesn't matter what work it is. If you put any work into the gospel, it's no longer the gospel. It's another gospel. It's not God's gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. You see that in your Bible? For Christ sent me not to what? To baptize, but to preach the what? So baptism cannot be a part of the gospel. So when I ask you if you're saved, why did you tell me the day you got baptized? That's what you did. The gospel has nothing to do with what you did. It has to do with what Jesus did. Well, I got baptized. Well, I took communion. You know Judas took the communion and went to hell? I mean, guys, if anybody had a resume of Christianity, it would be Judas. I walked with Jesus. Did you know Judas rose people from the dead? Did you know that? That's a pretty good resume for works. I rose people from the dead. I healed the sick. Did you know Judas was a preacher? I never forget many years ago. He's in heaven, been in heaven a good while. Walter Burrell. I've known him since I was just a little kid. And he preached a message called The Second Judas. He was a seminary student. He was preaching. He had a degree in theology. And it dawned on him one day, all of that was just religion. He had no relationship with Christ. He had never been born again. But he would tell you what he had done. He would tell you how his life had progressed in the church. And the degrees that he had and the messages that he had preached. But all of his life was about his own self. You know what that is? That's another gospel. And he got saved. He got saved. Because salvation is not what you do. It's about the grace of God. It's about what you believe. It's about your heart trusting Christ, not trusting you. That was the terrible thing we had on the mission field. We could not get people to stop thinking about their religion and start thinking about Jesus. Grace defines the gospel and any religion, any denomination that preaches salvation about you doing anything besides the grace of God is mixing something and it's becoming a false gospel. There are social gospels. Social gospel is making the world a better place. You know, some people think they're going to heaven because they help people. They think that's the good news. If I'll just help enough people, if I'll cause the people that are poor to have a better life, then that's going to be the good news of my life, and God will accept me. God will put you in hell like he'll put every other person in hell that doesn't trust his son. Social gospel. A racial gospel. If we could just calm race relationships, and if all men can be on the same plane. No, all men are on the same plane, all right. We're all sinners and we're all headed to hell if we don't trust in his son. It's not a social gospel. It's not a racial gospel. It's not a planet-saving gospel. It's not anything about me. It's not a Baptist gospel. It's not about a religion. I'm not even a religious person, but I do believe in a person. Jesus is my salvation. Not because I'm a preacher, not because of who my mom and daddy are. Not because I have a decent haircut. No. Not because I try to live a pure life. No. If that had anything to do with it, then it would be another gospel, because it's got to be by the grace of God. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved this morning, you're saved because of what he did, not what you've done. I'm convinced there are people, and look, I don't try to talk anybody into being saved or they're not saved. It's a matter of your heart. But I'm convinced there are people that really think because they've gone to church for 20 years that they're saved. And I've said it before. Being in a church building no more makes you a Christian than you standing in a garage makes you a car. No. And if I ask you if you're saved and you take me to anything you've done, it's going to make me think that you've got another gospel. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. It's just his grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved us. That's where we have a problem. Man can't see himself as the wretch. And so he does and he does and he does to have a self-respecting life that he thinks God will accept. But the great thing about the gospel is we see ourselves as a wretch, but we see the amazing grace of God that is able and willing to save the wretches. Praise his name. Galatians chapter 1, I got to give you the last one. The gospel is about Christ's work. The gospel is about the grace of God. Another gospel is about man's work. Another gospel forgets the resurrection. And then lastly, Galatians chapter 1, we've covered this ground many moons ago, but I'll read it again for you and we'll pass on and be finished today. Galatians 1:6, I marvel, he says. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. You see it? Unto another gospel, which is not another. Hey man, there's only one good news. There's no good news in church. There's no good news in religion. There's no good news in you. There's no good news in the world. We know that. Don't turn on your TV or your radio, amen, or the internet. No good news there. But there's good news in this book. There's good news in Jesus. There's good news in the gospel. Have you believed it? He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said, if an angel preaches you something that I didn't preach to you, they're cursed. He said, if I lose my brain and come and preach another message to you, I'm cursed. If anybody you look up to, if your mother, your father, your granddaddy comes in and preaches another gospel than what I preached to you when I was there, they're all cursed.
If an angel floats down from heaven and comes down into your congregation, an angel, if you see a UFO and they land on the front yard in their spaceship, amen, and they walk in the church house and they preach another message than the message that I preach to you, they're cursed. They have another gospel. Okay. It won't be hard for the world to believe another gospel. Verse 11, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Then make this up. Not my opinion. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I tell you this, I'm done. Another gospel is the gospel of man's work. Another gospel forgets the resurrection of Christ. And another gospel is a new revelation. You know what this book says? The book says the old's better. I believe that. I believe them old women made better bread. Amen. I believe it's better than Sunbeam, you know. I believe they made the genuine article. We got all this fake stuff. That loaf bread, that's not real. It ain't real. Them old ladies back there, they made the real stuff. Got their hands in it and kneaded it. Amen. Put the fire to it. And you know what the Bible says here? Paul says, now when I leave, there's these new guys going to come. Listen, if these new people come in and they bring a new message and it didn't match the old message, it's another gospel. Do you understand that most of the cults that have destroyed our nation, they're all new messages. They're all since 1800. New messages. I mean, look, if your religion has been hidden for 2,000 years, you don't got it. If Paul didn't preach it, it's wrong. I said, if Paul didn't preach it, it's wrong. Matter of fact, if Paul didn't preach it, it's cursed. So what do we have? Well, old Joe Smith. 1830. I got a new revelation. An angel spoke to me. No, you've got another gospel, sir. And you were a joke and a crackpot. Nobody believes you back then. It's this new generation that believes everything that believes you now. Not a new revelation. You move from Joe Smith and you know what you hit? After him, you hit 1860. Ellen G. White. You'll see billboards going down the side of the road tell you that worshiping on Sunday, you're taking the mark of the beast. That's right out here on 53. Taking the mark of the beast. You know, where'd that come from? It came from a new revelation, another gospel. Ellen G. White. Ellen G. White. You know what she said about 1860? She said she started what was called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. She said, well, they're good people. Well, look, man, there can be lost people that are good moral people, but that didn't mean they don't have another gospel. Seventh-day Adventism is another gospel. It is another gospel. It is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't preach it. You know what they believe? They believe not just worshiping on Saturday. And their churches are full. And they're serious. A lot of them more serious than we are about God. But Seventh-day, they have another gospel. They say you got to live by that Old Testament law. You got to live by that. It takes Judaism and inserts Judaism into Christianity, which is exactly what Galatians is trying to tell people not to do. We don't keep the law. We're not under the law. I don't keep the Sabbath. And by the way, Sunday is not a Sabbath day. Amen. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, and it's not a day of the week, it's a person. Hallelujah. And it's a life. It goes on and never stops. I have a millennial rest in Jesus Christ. Not keeping the law. Oh, you got to keep the law. You got to keep the Ten Commandments. You know what the Bible says? They got up in Acts 15 and said, none of us can do that anyway. Why are you trying to put a yoke upon people that nobody can do? We're all a bunch of lawbreakers. Nobody's ever kept the law. But one person, that was Jesus Christ. Ain't nobody keep the law. That's another gospel. Well, you go from 1830, then you go to 1860, and then you move from 1860, all these new revelations, and you go to 1870. Shit, they just had to get all of them in there.
And old Charles Taz Russell, you know what he said? I don't like this preaching on hell. I don't like this Bible with all these hell words in it. So we're going to make a religion that doesn't have hell. You know, the old timers used to call Jehovah Witnesses no hellers. That's what they used to call them. I'd go in the nursing home and I'd sit down with some of our old saints there in the nursing home in Virginia. And an old lady, I can see Etta Kaiser sitting there, man, she's in her 90s, been over in a wheelchair. I come by and said, hey, y'all had any services in the, yeah, she said, one of them no hellers came by, but I'm not going to go down there and listen to that no heller preach. That's another gospel. That's Jehovah false witness. That's another gospel. You say, why are you preaching that? People think they're just nice Christian people, another variation. It's not another variation. It's a different gospel. It's cursed. Let alone they're saying Jesus is not even God in the flesh. All of it's new. And all of them have to insert a new Bible with it. Guys, if it's new, get rid of it. Stick with the old. 1879, I love saying this woman's name. Strange, two of these women. Mary Baker Edison Patterson Glover. Yeah, Mary Baker Eddie Patterson Glover. Yeah. She's busy. So she said, I want to start something new. So she started Christian Science, which is just another gospel. It's all new stuff. You know what Paul said way back almost 2,000 years ago? He says, if you can't find it in here, then get rid of it. Isn't that easy? This world peddles you something new every day. You know what you need to do? You need to stick with the old. People change. Doctrines change. Societies change. Religions change. Churches are changing. People's beliefs are changing. But this old message is the same. And another gospel. I don't know what's going to come up next. I have no idea. They're going to continue to come. And another gospel is a new revelation. It's not the old revelation. Now the question. Have you believed the gospel? Are you saved? You know what? I would not sit here knowing that I was unsaved. I would not wait for an emotional moment. I would just trust Jesus and quit playing a game. And we need to defend, and we need to spread, and we need to love the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God. That is not our works. It's the work of Christ, and it's the old, old story that still works.